Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Human beings are very good imitators. We all tend to copy the behavior of others that we esteem highly. We teach our children to imitate. And even society as a whole is all the time encouraging positive role models. The Apostle Paul tells us that we should imitate his pattern. But he goes further in Ephesians 5, where he commands us not just to imitate him or even the other apostles, but to imitate God. Ephesians 5, verse 1, "Be therefore imitators of God." Well, much as we may want to, as mortal men, we simply cannot do it. Even as Christians, it's beyond our reach. But there must be a way, or else the Word of God would not command us to do it. The key lies in the second half of the verse. Listen carefully. "Be therefore imitators of God as beloved children." Ron Kingis has joined us for a program I think has the promise of having much light and help for a lot of our listeners. Ron, welcome back.
I agree, because the verses we're considering are in a very sweet, particularly delightful section of Ephesians concerning our living as children of God in love and light. So this involves the three matters of life implied in our being children of God, love, which is the essence of God, and light, which is the shining of God. And this is all related to our walk, that is, our daily Christian living at all times and in all places. And what we have here is not a mere ethical or moral appeal to have a better human life. Rather, what is revealed here is a life in God, a life in which we live out God as His children, imitating Him organically by walking in love, which is God, and in light, which is God. I hope this little introductory word of fellowship will set the tone for this very sweet and pleasant and endearing ministry from Ephesians chapter 5.
Ron, the word imitate can imply a kind of ethical approach to our Christian life, a standard set up before us that we would strive to emulate. But even the nature, the character, the texture of this wonderful verse in chapter 5 as it begins is just not at all that way, is it? It is very intimate and very sweet.
The word imitators is obviously used, so we have to reckon with this expression. But Paul immediately adds the words, "as beloved children." If he had simply said, "be imitators of God," period,
right,
we really would be at a loss, and it would be very difficult for us to transcend the natural concept of outward imitation, but a like father, like son's imitation, in which the children, having the same life as their father, imitate him by living the way he lives, actually by living him.
Well, let's join Witness Lee. I think we'll see an interesting way he sets this up, because he points out that the structure of this sentence, though as we've now been talking, is full of intimacy, full of an organic relationship here, but it does come in the context or in the sense of an imperative, a commandment, a New Testament commandment, "be imitators of God." And Paul goes even further in the next verse, "and walk in love, even as Christ also loved us and gave himself up for us." Another imperative. Let's join Witness Lee.
Verse 1 says, "Become, therefore, imitators of God." This is imperative, the commandment. according to the New Testament, we have become the children of God. As the children of God, we have God life. John 1:13 says, we have been born of God. Then 2 Peter 1:4 says, we are partakers of the divine nature of God. So, as children of God, we have God's life and God's nature. So, we can be imitators of God. We are not like monkeys imitating man. The monkeys, they don't have man's life. Neither do they have man's nature. But we have God's life. And we have God's nature. So, by His life and nature, surely we can be the same as His. We can be His imitators. So, our outward living must be the same as God's living. And this is the imitator of God. Verse 2, and walk in love. And indicates, verse 2 is also a commandment.
Ron, we had fellowship on the matter of imitation in the sense that Paul is leading us here in chapter 5 before we heard this section. But I'd like to come back with how he opened it up in this matter of it being not a suggestion, but really a commandment, a requirement. In what sense does it fall into that category?
I would say, Chris, in the same sense as the commandment given by the Lord Jesus to us in Matthew 5:48, be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. So the Lord says, be perfect. Paul says, be imitators. The former, the commandment in Matthew 5:48, by the Son of God Himself. The latter, the commandment in Ephesians 5:1, by an apostle of Christ Jesus. So this is not God's advice. This is a command. God requires this. Sometimes we may have a kind of distorted thinking, which goes like this: God says it, I can't do it, therefore I don't have to do it. But the divine thought behind this kind of command is God requires it. We say, amen, Lord, you require it. I agree with you. And then we say, Lord, I can't do this by my natural human life. And the Lord, so to speak, says, I know that, my child. I want you to do this by my eternal life, my divine life that's in you. So it is a command to which we must say, amen. But it is a command that we cannot obey in ourselves, but we can obey by the Christ who lives in us and whose life we share. So in Matthew 5:48, we are to be perfect as our Father is perfect. This means we are to be mature in His life, exhibited in love. That's an organic relationship, by which I mean a relationship in life that is dependent upon actual birth. In Ephesians 5, we're called children of God. Once again, we see we have an organic relationship, a life relationship with God. Just as a human father can make requirements of his human children, God, the Heavenly Father, can and does make requirements of His children. Our problem is either dismissing the requirements as being impossible or trying in ourselves to fulfill them. But the way of God's economy, we say yes to what God requires. We admit it's humanly impossible. And then we go on to fulfill this requirement by the divine life in which and with which all things are possible. So what I'm trying to say in sum is that God requires this, and he expects his children to comply. But he realizes his children can only do this by God himself in them as their life. So I rejoice afresh, Chris, in the fact that God is really our Father, and we are his children born of him and now possessing his life and nature to imitate him by living him out from our regenerated spirit as beloved children.
Ron, this fellowship really helps to illuminate even the story of the rich young ruler who left in despair, and the question posed, who can do this? With men, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. I thought of that as you were just speaking.
And in response to that, I would just note that the Christian life is impossible, and the Christian life is the easiest thing to live. By which I mean, the Christian life is impossible for our natural human life. But when we let Christ be our life and live by what Paul calls the law of life, it's effortless. Just as an eagle flies by the law of the eagle life, we live the Christian life effortlessly by the law of the divine life, actually by the divine life itself. It's worthwhile to concentrate on this because there are many serious Christians who are under condemnation and are very discouraged at their repeated failures. We would like to encourage these dear ones based upon the scriptures with this. We need to fail in our natural life until we reach the point where we recognize it's impossible by our natural life to be a Christian. God does not want us to try in our natural life to be a Christian. God wants us to live him, to live Christ, to live in the Spirit, to live the divine life that came into us at regeneration. If we do this, we will discover what is impossible in our natural human life is not only possible, but easy in the divine life if we let this life flow in us and if we walk in this life by walking in the Spirit in a practical way day by day.
Well, let's go on. The second part of this imperative, but I would say this intimate, organic imperative that we talked about a moment ago, we'll touch in more detail now. Again, verse 2, and walk in love, even as Christ also loved us and gave himself up for us. And then a further modifier comes in verses 8 and 9. For you were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. So, Ron, we have a walk in love and a walk in light to help modify this marvelous passage that we're getting today. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Now, in chapter 5, firstly, you have to pick up love, right? Walk in love. Let me tell you. To walk in love is to walk in your intimacy with God. I saw some young daughters. They wouldn't do anything against their mothers. Why? Because they are so intimate to their mothers. So whatever the mothers love, whatever the mothers like, they just dare not to do anything against the mother's feeling. When you enjoy God's love in an intimate way, you just wouldn't do anything that the father doesn't like. You wouldn't do anything that the father hates. The father hates fornication. The father hates all the uncleanness. The father hates all the lust. You see, in the love of the father, you wouldn't touch those things because you are walking, living in an intimate relation with the Father. And this is to walk in love. Verse 8, for you were once darkness. I like this word. You were not only dark, you were just darkness itself. But now, light in the Lord. Today, you see, we are light. Don't forget, the Lord Jesus did say on the mount, ye are the light of the world. Right? Paul in Philippians 2 also, ye are the light. We were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light. Have you noticed? Firstly, this chapter touches love. Walk in love. Now, you see, from verse 8, this chapter goes on to touch light. Not only walk in love, but also walk as children of light. And how do you know that you are walking as children of light? Verse 9 gives you the definition. If you are walking as the children of light, you must bear this kind of fruit. What kind of fruit? The fruit of light, which is in all goodness, what God the Father is, and righteousness, what God the Son is, and truth, what God the Spirit is. Your walking must bear fruit. Bear fruit of light. Your fruit must be of these three things: in goodness, in righteousness, and in truth.
Ron, let's pick up his fellowship and continue talking about these two components of our walk here in chapter 5, in love and in light.
We know from the book of 1 John that God is love and that God is light. Love is the essence of God. Light is the expression of God. Love is the source of grace. And light is the source of truth. To walk as imitators of God, being imitators of God as beloved children, is to live a life in God. To walk in love is to walk in God, whose essence is love, whose inner substance is love. And to walk in light is to walk in God, whose expression is light. So we are children of God, possessing the life and nature of God. And these children of God are commanded by God through Paul to be imitators of God. Well, God is love, and God is light. So if we are imitators of God, who is love and light, then in our living, expressed by this word walking, we will be in love and we will be in light. To walk in love and light is the definition of being imitators of God, who is love and light. Now we can add this. When we walk in love, walking in the essence and inner substance of God, we are living a life of intimacy and endearing, sweet, delightful fellowship with God. This is a most pleasant and exquisitely delightful family relationship. We're just touching the very being of God and expressing God as love. To walk in light is to walk in God's shining, in His expression. And Paul points out in Ephesians 5 that this light has a fruit characterized by goodness, righteousness, and truth. And if our listeners would get the life study, as I'm encouraging them to do, preempting you a little bit once again without permission, if they get the life study, they will see a marvelous exposition of this. Now, at present, I would just say in brief, goodness, righteousness, and truth relate to the Father, who is the source of the fruit of light, and He is goodness. None is good but God. Righteousness is God's procedure, and this is related to God the Son.
Right.
And truth has to do with expression. This is related to the Spirit as the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of reality. So if we, as children of God, are imitators of God, walking in love and light, we will bear the fruit of the light and manifest the triune God in our living, in goodness, God the Father, in righteousness, God the Son, and in truth, God the Spirit. Mm. This is the triune God as life, love, and light, lived out and expressed in the daily walk of His beloved children. Now, isn't this sweet?
This is sweet.
Isn't this delightful to God to see Himself in Christ as the Spirit lived out of His beloved children in a way that expresses Him in His life, in His love, and in His light?
Mm.
This is, in actuality, Jesus living again on the earth in His believers who are the members of His organic body. Chris, isn't this a much higher view of the Christian life than simply trying to be better persons, trying to perfect ourselves, trying to reform ourselves, all in the natural realm? This kind of living that we're fellowshipping about is predicated upon the awesome, miraculous reality of the divine birth. We have been born of God. We are children of God with the life and nature of God. We are imitators of God, walking in God as love in a sweet, intimate fellowship, and walking in God as light, walking in His shining and exhibiting the fruit of light in goodness, the Father, in righteousness,
the Son,
and in truth, the Spirit. Huh. This is what God calls the normal Christian life.
It's exactly the thought I was having as you were saying it, the contrast between what we've had unfolded and the natural concept, especially when we look at a verse like verse 1, be imitators of God, and we would almost dismiss, or it's almost a throwaway clause, part B, you know, to our natural thought as beloved children. But actually, that really sets the foundation for everything that we've just elaborated on, doesn't it? The life relationship is the only one that can produce this kind of an outcome.
Chris, all of God's children need to realize that they are actually born of God and possessing the life and nature of God, and then see that the Christian life is a life in which we deny the natural human life and live God in the divine life and nature, walking in love and light, as defined by Paul, as explicated by Brother Lee's ministry, and we hope as supported and testified by our fellowship.
Amen. Well, Ron, that is all of our time today. Thank you very much for listening.